We have Catherine Baca from the state of Louisiana to share a little bit about their Louisiana claims data.
Thank you.
And we're going to go ahead and do questions after each presentation.
Good morning, everyone. So as you were told, my name is Kasha Baca. I am just starting my second year within my CSD fellowship this August in Louisiana. And today I'm just going to share you a result from part of my study using Louisiana Medicaid claims data. So like other parts in the United States, diabetes in Louisiana has increased in prevalence over the years in adults. For 18 to 44-year-olds, it has increased from 2.3% in 2000 to 3.0% in 2014. And this might be due to the increasing amounts of obesity across the United States, as well as Louisiana. On the map, you can see Louisiana is one of the orange states, meaning that they self-reported 30 to 35% of the population self-reported obesity in a population, and as well as the surrounding states around Louisiana. And this is important since diabetes and obesity are both risk factors for adverse fetal, neonatal, and maternal outcomes. And also, these women are also at risk of gaining more weight than what is recommended during their pregnancy, called excessive gestational weight gain. And these women are also at risk of several risks, adverse fetal, neonatal, and maternal outcomes. My first objective for the study was to determine the associations between pregnancy outcomes and diabetes for both pregestational and gestational diabetes. Pregestational diabetes is when a woman is diagnosed with type 1 or type 2 diabetes prior to pregnancy, while gestational diabetes is when a woman who is not diagnosed with diabetes is diagnosed with insulin resistance during pregnancy. The second objective was to determine the associations between pregnancy outcomes and excessive and inadequate gestational weight gain by diabetes status. So that included, by diabetes status, I mean pregestational diabetes, gestational, as well as having no diabetes. And the reason why we wanted to look at these objectives, Louisiana Medicaid data, is because unlike other states, 70% of our population is qualified for Medicaid. In comparison, across the United States, it's usually on average about 40%. So this represents a large portion of our population. So to answer these objectives, I needed to merge data from Medicaid claims data with birth certificate data. And I used data from 2011 to 2014, and this merge, fortunately for us, is done by Medicaid. And they do this by using deterministic matching, by matching claims, matching Social Security numbers, names, date of birth, as well as Medicaid IDs. And for any claims that were not matched that way, they use probabilistic matching. If anything was a little bit mismatched, like a name might have a different spelling accidentally. And the one with the highest probability was matched as being the correct match. And using this merged data, I was able to use ICD-9 codes to group women into those with no diabetes, pregestational diabetes, and gestational diabetes. And I also used ICD-9 codes and birth certificate data to find my outcomes of interest. And these include various outcomes, including preterm birth, small gestational age, low birth weight, and I also included things like hypertension in pregnancy and hemorrhage in early pregnancy. I also used birth certificate data to define women as having excessive, inadequate, or adequate gestational weight gain. In this table, I defined what is adequate gestational weight gain according to the IOM. For an example, for a woman with normal BMI, between 18.5 to 24.9 BMI, she's recommended to gain between 25 to 35 pounds during her pregnancy, and anything above that is considered to be excessive gestational weight gain, and anything below that is considered to be inadequate. And this range of weight increases for those who are underweight and decreases for those who are overweight and obese. I also used birth certificate data to define my covariates of maternal race, age, BMI, parity, previous cesarean, smoking during pregnancy, maternal education, and marital status. There are a few limitations I want to point out before continuing with my results and analysis. First, as you know, I used birth certificate data to define my excessive and inadequate gestational weight gain categories. However, I had to use self-reported pre-pregnancy weight that's reported on the birth certificates to do this, which has its own limitations. It might not be as accurate as having a clinician weighing the mother before pregnancy. And also, I did not have accurate information on insulin use as well as glycemic control during pregnancy, which may be important on measure confounders in these analyses. In this figure, I summarized selected characteristics of this merged data. So I found overall that about 3.4% of this population had pre-gestational diabetes, and about 8% had gestational diabetes. And this is representative of what it's like across the United States. So looking at black race, you can see that a high proportion of those with pre-gestational diabetes were black, and there also had a higher proportion of mothers being 30 years or older. And they were more likely to be multiparous, meaning they had more than one child. A high amount of the population across the three categories of women had high school education or less. And it's similar across the three groups. Also, women with gestational diabetes had a higher amount of married women. And about over half of those with pre-gestational diabetes delivered at less than 39 weeks of gestation, which is significantly higher than gestational diabetes and those with no diabetes. And also, about almost 50% of the population gained excessive gestational weight, and a quarter gained inadequate gestational weight. And the difference between excessive gestational weight between pre-gestational diabetes and no diabetes is significantly different, while there were no significant differences between the groups for the inadequate gestational weight gain group. So to answer my first objective, I used logistic regression to measure to estimate associations between pre-gestational diabetes and gestational diabetes with outcomes of interest. And also, I measured associations within each of the diabetes groups, those three diabetes groups from the previous figure, estimating the associations between excessive and inadequate gestational weight gain with outcomes of interest. This table summarizes the results for the first objective. Compared with no diabetes, pre-gestational diabetes had increased risk of preterm birth, cesarean delivery, hypertension-related outcomes, which includes preeclampsia, hemorrhage in early pregnancy, NICU admission, sepsis, and large gestational age. There was no difference for small for gestational age, while there was a decreased risk of low birth weight. There were similar findings for gestational diabetes, including preterm birth, cesarean delivery, hypertension, hemorrhage, and NICU admission, but there's no difference in sepsis risk. And there was an increased risk for large gestational age, but not as drastic as pre-gestational diabetes. And we also had a significant risk of small gestational age for gestational diabetes. And like pre-gestational diabetes, there was a decreased risk of low birth weight in this group. The next couple of slides summarizes the findings for the second objective. For any diabetes status, those that gained below IOM recommendations or those that gained inadequate gestational weight gain had decreased risk of hypertension and cesarean delivery and an increased risk of low birth weight. And the opposite was found for those that gained above IOM recommendations for weight gain, which is the excessive gestational weight gain group. Excluding those with pre-gestational diabetes, we found these following associations. We found that inadequate gestational weight gain compared to adequate gestational weight gain had increased risk of small gestational age, while there was a decreased risk of large gestational age. And this is expected since you'd expect a mom who wouldn't gain enough weight during a pregnancy to have a baby that was too small. And again, the opposite was found in excessive gestational weight gain for the same reason. This makes sense because she may have gained too much weight and the fetus, the infant might have grown too much. And for only gestational diabetes, we found one association that was different from the other groups. We found that inadequate gestational weight gain decreased risk of hemorrhage, while excessive gestational weight gain increased risk of hemorrhage. So overall, we found some differences between the diabetes groups. We found that there was only increased risk of small for gestational age in the gestational diabetes group, while there's increased risk of sepsis for pre-gestational diabetes. And again, in general, we found multiple other adverse outcomes occurring for both diabetes groups, like preterm birth, cesarean, NICU admission. And excessive gestational diabetes was an independent risk factor for multiple outcomes, including hypertension and cesarean delivery for any diabetes status, including those with no diabetes. And for large gestational age, only for gestational diabetes and those with no diabetes. And lastly, for hemorrhage for those with gestational diabetes only. And we also found that inadequate gestational weight gain may be a risk factor for low birth weight for any diabetes status and for small gestational age for those with gestational diabetes and no diabetes. So overall, we found that preventable adverse health outcomes were common in this population, in this women who are under Medicaid in Louisiana. Diabetes increased risks of multiple adverse outcomes, and excessive or inadequate gestational weight gain may be possible modifiable risk factors for numerous health outcomes in this population. And this is our first objective was pretty similar to previous work. However, there were some differences from previous work on excessive gestational weight gain in those with diabetes. For an example, we found there was no increased risk of large, which is gestational age, in our study with excessive gestational weight gain, while other studies found an increased risk. And also, previous work found that there was increased risk of NICU admission with inadequate gestational weight gain, and we did not find this association. So lastly, we have some public health implications that I would like to share with you. Our result supports that maintaining health prior to and during pregnancy is important to reduce adverse health outcomes. So appropriate preconception care is important to reduce the risk of developing diabetes during pregnancy. It's important to, and also for losing weight before pregnancy. But this is difficult when most, like other parts of the United States, most pregnancies in Louisiana are not planned. Also, it's also important to counsel women with diabetes to gain weight within the IOM recommendations. And all this is important since healthy moms and babies can enable babies to reach their full potential, and also it reduces healthcare costs. Immediate future work that I'm working on is estimating best timing of delivery to reduce risk to these adverse outcomes for those with diabetes and those with excessive inadequate gestational weight gain. And I'm also working with Medicaid to present these results and work with people in Medicaid and providers to figure out if the situation is happening now, like how can we intervene, how can we improve preconception care, how can we counsel these women better to gain weight within IOM recommendations. However, there is a Medicaid expansion happening July 1st, so that might take a while to make that conversation happening. That is it. Thank you so much, and there's a disclaimer since I am a CSD fellow, so thank you.
We have time for questions, if anybody has a question, and I'd ask that if you can't make it to the mic, they'd shout.
Hi. Thank you for your presentation. It was really interesting. I was wondering about the completeness of the data sets. Mm-hmm. For example, how many women didn't have their Medicaid number on their birth certificate that were actually matched back to the Medicaid claims, and how many women did you expect to be able to match to birth certificates and weren't able to, and so just kind of what your experience with missing data was and how you handled that.
Well, all the merging was done by Medicaid, and from the codes, they basically give you Medicaid data with a variable with a code that matches with birth certificate data, and that was merged like one-to-one. So maybe they had some issues that they did, but I did not have to deal with that. Good question. Thank you.